Lord Grade. Gainsborough Pictures. From the novel by Barbara Cartland. The Lady and the Highwayman, with the narrative description by Audiovision. Starring Emma Sands. Oliver Reed. Claire Bloom. Christopher Casanovi. Lizette Anthony. Hugh Grant. Michael York as King Charles II. Special guest appearances, John Mills. Ian Bannon. Robert Morley. Bernard Miles. Also starring Gordon Jackson. Gareth Hunt. Screenplay by Terrence Feely. Music composed by Laurie Johnson. Executive producer Lord Lou Grade. Produced by Albert Fennell and John Howe. Directed by John Howe.
In 1649, the English Parliament had executed King Charles I, and England became a republic under the oppressive regime of General Oliver Cromwell, backed by the army. The king's son, Charles II, made repeated attempts from France to regain the throne.
High above a rugged coastline, several horsemen gallop across open fields sloping down toward the sea. Nearing the shore, they descend to a clearing amid some trees, where they rein in their horses.
There is not much time, my lord. The boat back to France will be waiting in the next cove.
Lord Lucius, I'm glad you persuaded me to risk coming out of exile in France to see for myself. I know now that the people are for me. They're sick of this Cromwell and his Commonwealth. They want their King Charles II. But you have made powerful enemies. When I am back on the throne, if you should need me, send this.
Charles hands Lucius a diamond and ruby ring.
I am honored, sire. But I fear that you will have enough enemies of your own.
Soldiers in round metal helmets gallop across the fields.
And now, if you please, I shall be king for a day.
Grinning, Lucius and Charles exchange hats. The soldiers close ground.
Lucius, if anything happens to me, remember, you inherit my title as Duke of Manston.
Take care of my sister, Panthea.
My life on it, Richard.
Godspeed.
Yeah!
With Lucius wearing Charles's red cloak and feathered hat, they gallop away. As they race back up the slope to the open fields, Lucius takes the lead. Cresting a hill, the soldiers spot them just as Lucius breaks off from the others. Confused, the soldiers pause. Then charge after Lucius, who heads back down toward the coast. Hurtling along a narrow path atop a cliff, Lucius draws the soldiers after him. Lucius veers into a gap in the steep rock cliffs well ahead of the soldiers. Before they catch up, he disappears into a square opening in the rock face. As the soldiers ride through the gap, Lucius is nowhere to be seen. They draw up and look around.
This way!
Following the sound of Lucius's horse, the soldiers ride through the opening into a vast cavern. Lucius proceeds to lead them in a merry chase through pillared sections of the cavern. Reaching a dead end, the soldiers stop.
Come on!
And turn back. Lucius rides out through a hidden exit. As Lucius climbs a steep path behind the cavern, the soldiers leave the same way they came in. Again, pausing to look around, they see Lucius on a path high above them. He smiles and tips his hat, then rears his horse and gallops away. A young lady rides in the country with a man following behind. Stopping, she looks sadly at a wanted for treason poster for Richard Vine.
Harry, where do you think Richard is? It's been a year now.
They haven't got your brother yet, my Lady Panthea. That's all that counts.
Come on, girl.
Her long blonde hair cascading over her shoulders, Panthea continues her ride, with Harry following. Behind them, a fallen tree bears another wanted poster for the notorious highwayman known as Silverblade. As Panthea and Harry gallop across a clearing, a horse stands in the surrounding trees. In the saddle, a masked man watches them. Approaching a stately manor house, they ride up to an arched entrance at the base of a tower. As Panthea dismounts, Harry leads the horses away. Stepping through a low gated door, she crosses a short passageway through the tower to a courtyard.
He's here again, my lady. The taxman, Mr. Drysdale. Let him wait. My lady is one of the most powerful men in the country.
Disgusts me.
Inside, a sinister-looking older man stands waiting as Panthea, having changed out of her riding clothes, enters the room. Head held high in a billowy white satin dress, she slowly walks over to him.
My Lady Panthea, good of you to deign to honor me at last.
What do you want? You've already taken everything we have.
Well, we both know what I want, my lady. I want you for my wife.
I've already answered you that.
The maid eavesdrops.
I'm a rich man. I have one of the greatest fortunes in the county.
Yes, squeezed out of royalist widows and children and kept for yourself. You even cheat on your own side. If my father were alive today, he would whip you from Manston Hall.
Perhaps you won't be so haughty when you've read this.
Taking a scroll from Drysdale, Panthea opens it. As the maid listens, Panthea reads.
Richard. My brother is taken.
In London.
Drysdale takes back the scroll.
3 days ago. He's to be executed at the Tower next week.
No.
I could save him. This is a pardon signed by the Protector, Oliver Cromwell.
Holding out another scroll, Drysdale pulls it away as Panthea reaches for it.
Please.
He grins slyly, then steps away.
It will be my marriage gift to you. I desire a quiet wedding. Get your cloak. We start instantly.
As the maid dashes from her listening post, Panthea leaves the room in distress. Dashing across a field, the maid reaches the ruins of a church. As she runs past the crumbling walls, a man grabs her. She hugs him.
My Lady Panthea needs help.
Inside a church, a small dog waits in a coach behind two coachmen.
Hole in the corner business and no mistake.
If he needs coachmen, why hire us?
You ask me, he don't want no one close to him to know what he's been up to. Gotta help that poor child in there.
A priest leaves the church, along with Panthea and Drysdale.
May God bring blessings on your union.
Aye, no doubt. May shut your mouth.
Shocked, the priest hangs back.
In you go, Mrs. Drysdale.
Removing his hat to usher Panthea into the coach, Drysdale follows as she picks up the dog.
Oh, Godspeed, my children.
The priest turns away. With a leer, Drysdale reaches to undo Panthea's cape.
No, please don't.
What wife? You heard the priest, you heard the prayer book. With my body, I thee worship.
As she clutches her dog, Drysdale starts undoing the ties on her bodice. With a snarl, he hurls the dog to the floor and stomps on it. Grinning, Drysdale rips at Panthea's clothes as the coachmen listen in disgust. Pistol drawn, a masked man rides up.
Keep very still.
Silverblade, you again.
I'm afraid so. I've heard you carry most of your disgusting fortune around with you. I evidently missed that last time. Out of the coach.
Oh, be damned.
Out!
Silverblade is Lucius in disguise. Keeping his pistol aimed, he waits for Drysdale to climb out of the coach.
Over there.
What should choke for this?
Madam, my apo-
As Silverblade looks at the floor of the coach, tears stream down Panthea's cheeks. He glances at Drysdale in disgust.
Come. Come, you have nothing to fear.
Very, very hip.
Of course.
Extending a gloved hand to help her down, Silverblade takes a pickaxe from the rear of the coach. Gently cradling the dog in his arms, Silverblade leaves one of his men guarding the coach and walks several steps away with Panthea. Drysdale looks on.
He said that my brother's been captured and that he's going to be executed, but he would help him if I married him till I did.
Silverblade steps close to her.
You will have to be very brave. The Duke of Marston was executed 2 weeks ago.
No.
As Panthea sobs against Silverblade's chest, Drysdale watches in anger. Leaving the small grave together, Panthea and Silverblade return to the coach. Silverblade walks up to Drysdale.
You are not fit to live. I would shoot you where you stand, but that is not my way. You will duel with me for your life.
My pleasure.
He's one of the best swordsmen in England.
I know that.
The duel begins. As the others look on, Drysdale backs Silverblade along a wooden footbridge and swipes at him. Panthea gasps. Drysdale slips off the edge, parries on one knee, and gets up again. Cautiously, the two men circle each other, then continue to thrust and parry. Pinning Silverblade's sword, Drysdale bowls him over and lunges. Silverblade blocks and jumps to his feet. Now on the offensive, Silverblade backs Drysdale up until the two men lock swords. Straining against each other, Drysdale heaves Silverblade into a cart full of logs. Dodging the freed logs, Silverblade attacks. As Drysdale pins him against a tree, Silverblade kicks him down. Disarmed, Drysdale reaches for his sword.
Take it.
gallantry is for fools.
Getting to his feet, Drysdale lunges. The two men continue to attack and parry in turn until finally Silverblade runs Drysdale through with his sword. Drysdale drops to the ground, dead.
Rather a poor choice for a man's last words.
Silverblade crosses back along the wooden footbridge.
Jack, bury the body. Get the coachman to help you.
He goes to the coachman.
You ought to forget everything you've seen. Breathe one word about it and I shall find you. Rely on it.
I will not talk. That Drysdale got what he deserved.
Walking over to Panthea, Silverblade looks at her tenderly. She holds his gaze for a moment, then watches as he turns and reaches into the coach. Tapping on a wood panel in the back of the seat, Silverblade finds a hidden compartment. He pulls out a cloth sack, then another.
My Lady Vine?
And another. As Panthea leans into the coach, her jaw drops.
It's a fortune. Huge fortune.
And not his. I shall return it to those from whom it was stolen.
With his arms around Panthea sitting side saddle in front of him, Silverblade gallops alongside a river at dusk. They ride up to Panthea's manor house. Inside, he places two sacks on a table.
Farewell, Panthea.
As Silverblade strides out of the room, Panthea gazes longingly after him. Stepping quickly to the door, she looks out. Before riding away, Silverblade rears his horse, and Panthea smiles in awe. Panthea's manor house overlooks a stone bridge spanning a river. She strolls through the courtyard.
Oh, Martha, I'll take tea in the rose garden.
Yes, m'lady.
As Martha goes to answer the door, Panthea follows.
You took your time, my girl.
Stop packing her things. Better pack your own, too. I know she can't lift a finger without you. Tell Harry, the groom, he'll be wanted too, no doubt.
Panthea stands, watching.
Well, my girl, haven't you got a kiss for your poor aunt?
How lovely to see you, Aunt Emma.
Well, let's not gush on about it. There's much to do.
But I'm perfectly happy here.
You've been stubborn about this long enough. With your parents dead and now your dear brother, you cannot go on living in this house unchaperoned any longer.
But this is my home.
It's completely out of the question. The Roundheads grow more brutish every day. A 19-year-old girl on her own in this monstrous great house.
My house. I absolutely refuse to leave it like some frightened little girl. Well, I see I'll have to tell you the truth. I'm a very lonely woman. I want you with me. Won't you come?
With a broad smile, Panthea rushes to kiss her.
In 1660, Charles II succeeded in regaining his father's throne. 2 years later, he made a popular political marriage to the Portuguese princess, Catherine of Braganza.
A red-haired lady and a foppish gentleman walk regally up a few steps on the terrace, leading to the great hall. As they enter the crowded hall, a young lady notices.
What is it, my dear?
Barbara, call for me.
The lady and gentleman stroll past without a glance her way.
How do you suppose the king's mistress feels when he brings his new bride home?
Insecure. She has had the king to herself for 2 years.
A new bride is the worst threat Barbara Castlemaine could possibly face.
The Countess Castlemaine looks decidedly nervous.
She has reason to be.
Perhaps the king will have to pay more attention to his new bride and less to her.
Is that Rudolph Vine with her? I thought that pauper was old news.
Old news is sometimes a comfort.
As a lady with a plunging neckline walks by, a palace guard turns to stare.
Please be in a coach, my sergeant.
Keep your eyes to the front, you lecherous little dwarf.
The sergeant is Drysdale's former coachman. Panthea and Emma enter the great hall. They brush past the Countess and Rudolph without noticing them and stop nearby. Glancing around, Panthea sees the elegant Countess.
Aunt Emma, who is that lady over there?
no one you would wish to know. Look away. I've never seen so many people.
The Countess notices Panthea.
Virginal little maid over there. Who is she?
Good God. I do believe it's Panthea Vine. She's a distant cousin. My, how she has grown up.
Has she?
We vines do tend to blossom suddenly.
I see. Is that why you joined everyone in goggling at her?
Ah, yes. I see what you mean. No, it's just that it was her brother. It's what I told you about. When Richard Vine got his head chopped up, I should have got his title. But for this other cousin, Lucius. You see, Lucius is the nearer cousin, damn it. I told you, remember?
My dear, if I had to remember all your complaints against life...
But you promised. You promised to get the kin to assume Lucius's death and confer the title Duke of Manson on me. I'm utterly out of funds, as bare as a peeled egg. The dukedom would restore me.
Enough. I will not go through it all again.
Oh, but you will intercede for me.
A man walks up behind them.
I may have to intercede for myself. First a new bride, and now a new face of just the sickly, untouched kind that can stir the king's palate.
But she is extremely rich, though nobody quite knows how.
His interest piqued. Rudolph stares at Panthea. As the guests turn their attention to the front of the great hall, they part, creating a passage in the center between them. Meeting the queen on the landing of a double staircase, Charles clasps her hand at shoulder height and leads her slowly down to greet their waiting subjects. Excited, Panthea squeezes Emma's hand. As the royal couple passes, ladies curtsy and gentlemen bow. Charles pauses to nod at a tall man. The Countess looks nervous as they approach. Still clasping the Queen's hand, Charles stops to watch the Countess curtsy. As she straightens, he winks slyly and she grins with delight. A few steps along, Charles and the Queen stop in front of Emma and Panthea.
Lady Darlington, my dear girl. Now, why have we not seen you in court before this?
I thought it was time you stood on your own 2 feet, Your Majesty.
I do not know what you call them in Portugal, dearest, but this lady was my nurse, my second mother, my...
Oh, see, I understand. Governante.
And who is this delightful wood nymph?
This is my niece, Lady Panthea Vine.
Your Majesties, in Portugal, you are everything we imagine when we think of English girl.
Oh, you're most kind, Your Majesty.
I wish we'd be friends. You also?
Oh, yes, 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 I would.
I tell you what. We will make sweet Lady Vine a lady of the Queen's bedchamber. How would that suit you, my dear?
Oh, it's very good. Oh, now tell me something that puzzles me about England.
As the Queen takes Panthea aside, Charles moves closer to Emma.
You did say the Queen's bedchamber, Your Majesty.
I am King Charles, not St. George. I do not fight dragons, Mistress Darlington.
Smiling, Emma nods. Taking the Queen's hand again, Charles moves on. The Countess glares at Panthea.
Lord Evesham.
My lady.
Find Sir Philip Gage.
The Solicitor General and Keeper of the King's Peace.
Are there two Sir Philip Gages?
Well, I was simply thinking that...
Do not. You are not fitted for it. I will await him in the orangery.
With a wave of her hand, the Countess dismisses Evesham. As Panthea and Emma step out of the Great Hall into the garden, Silverblade watches from behind an outbuilding across the lawn. Pulling down his mask, he gazes longingly at Panthea.
Panthea! My dearest Kaz! You were a child when we last met. Rudolph. I am your cousin, Rudolph, through James and Anne on the Distaff side.
Oh, well, the cousin Rudolph. How pleasant.
Panthea, Lady Darlington, permit me to present the Countess Castlemaine.
The Countess nods at Panthea, then turns to Emma, who stares at her. As the Countess smiles, Emma gives her a look of disdain. The Countess's face hardens, and Emma quickly leads Panthea away.
I was not to know the old assassin would do that.
She will pay. I swear on my heart's blood. She and her little milksop won't know what it is to insult me.
Flicking open her fan, she storms off. From a parapet, Silverblade leaps into a saddle and gallops away from the palace. As guests wander through the glass-enclosed greenhouse, Sir Philip enters and glances around. Seeing the Countess, he walks over to her, removes his hat, and bows.
Lady Castlemaine.
Philip, are you still my eyes and my ears?
Have I not given you proofs?
An arrogant little two-faced schemer freshly come to court, Panthea Vine. Do you know her?
I am aware of the family, yes.
Lady Vine.
Looking out to the garden, they see Rudolph with Panthea and Emma.
Lady Castle.
The child looks harmless enough to me.
Allow me to know. I will stand no opposition. I will brook no competition. I want Milady Vine watched every minute. As soon as I find her weakness, she will find herself wishing she had never been born.
The Countess walks away from Sir Philip. Outside, Panthea and Emma stroll through the grounds.
Aunt Lady Darlington, Cousin Lady Vine. You know the family tree. You could help. You both know that when Richard, Duke of Manston, died...
Panthea and Emma lower their eyes.
My deepest, by the way, commiserations. I rightfully should have come into his title.
I know nothing of the sort. Lucius Vine is the rightful heir.
Oh, Lucius Vine. Nobody's heard of him for years. After the king fled back to France, he became, if you please, a highwayman.
A highwayman? Do you know a lot about highwaymen?
Yes. Well, no. That is, I know about as much as most folk. I was really meaning that Lucius is probably dead in some ditch by now, or hanged under one of those nicknames they all seem to attract.
Nicknames? Oh, Cousin Rudolph, you are clever knowing about such things. What sort of nicknames?
Oh, various kinds.
Well, for instance?
Jack Flash, Spring Heels, Red Scarf, that kind of thing.
Oh, it's fascinating. What was Lucius's?
Lucius's?
His nickname. You said they all had nicknames.
I do not know that I ever heard it.
Later.
Will we be moving somewhere else in the palace now you're a lady in waiting, milady?
Martha combs Panthea's hair.
Martha. Do you know what happened to a cousin of mine called Lucius?
Their eyes meet in the mirror.
Martha.
Panthea swings around in her chair.
Martha?
I'm sorry, milady. I don't know nothing about what happened to him.
We've known each other since we were children. You can't hide from me. Now, what is it?
Nothing, milady.
You know something, don't you? Now tell me, Martha.
Martha drops the comb.
Oh, Martha, I'm sorry. No, don't cry.
Panthea hugs her.
You must tell me.
I don't, can't.
Look at me.
Panthea places a gentle finger on Martha's lips.
Was he a highwayman?
Martha nods.
Did he have a nickname?
Martha nods again.
Now, as you love me, tell me, what was it? Silver plate.
Panthea kisses her cheek.
I knew it.
She stands excitedly.
He knew my name and yet no one had told him. He brought me home and yet no one told him the way. Is he still alive?
Martha nods.
What's he like? I can't tell you no more.
As Martha runs out of the room, Panthea sits back down with a satisfied grin and starts daydreaming. She recalls the way Silverblade looked at her after the duel with Drysdale, and remembers riding side saddle with him back to Manston Hall. The next day, at the church ruins...
Oh, my lord, can't you stop now? I'm frightened for my Jack here.
I promise I'll take good care of Jack, Martha.
But I'm sure Master Rudolph knows who you are. Where else would my Lady Panthea have got the idea from?
I can't stop now, Martha. The king may be back on his throne, but there are still too many secret roundheads in positions of power in this country. They may have changed their tune, but they haven't changed their principles.
You see, Martha, they're like a secret society. They may pay kind of lip service to the king, but inside they want to keep things the way they were.
Silverblade and his two men gallop away from their hideout in the ruins. As an elegant carriage advances down a road, they ride out of the trees to ambush it.
Stand where you are!
A nobleman in the carriage holds out a scroll.
I carry the king's seal.
You are a leech. You may have the king's seal, but you have Cromwell's heart. Out.
He obeys at gunpoint. Galloping into town, Silverblade tosses a sack of coins to a group of women in a churchyard who rush to watch him ride away.
Thank you, Silverblade.
As a prison wagon with four foot guards advances through a town, it's ambushed.
Halt!
By a man with a pistol. A prisoner watches through the bars as the guards drop their rifles. When one draws the sword, Silverblade's men engage in a sword fight. Silverblade rides into the fray, knocks down a guard, and shoots the padlock on the wagon, freeing the lock. The prisoner leaps out of the wagon, punches a guard, and escapes. With the guards overpowered, Silverblade rides away.
Dear Barbara, don't look so pale. I'm not asking for a loan. You remember what sweet Will Shakespeare said? Neither a borrower nor a lender be, for neither side is happy with the interest rate.
Then what is this heartbreaking cry of distress about?
Rudolph fingers her necklace.
A trifle from the king.
We were not discussing my wealth, but your poverty.
The dukedom. You promised to intercede for me with the king.
The king is still not happy about proof of your cousin Lucius's death. Remember, Lucius was very close to him.
Then why has he not come forward since the king's return?
From what I hear of Lord Lucius, he's his own man. With his own philosophy, proud, willful, ready to say damnation to the world.
I'll swear you're in love with a rumor. But no matter. I shall soon be able to provide proof of his death.
How?
By arranging for his execution as a highwayman.
What?
Getting up from her vanity, the Countess storms over to him.
Lord Lucius Vine, a highwayman?
Ah, yes. I have long suspected him of being... Silverblade. And thinking about his style, I suddenly realized where he would choose to hide out. I did a little reconnaissance and found that I was right.
Where?
Firstly, I need from you a letter of introduction to your friend, Sir Philip Gage, keeper of the king's peace.
Coyly, she considers the request.
And what is to be my interest in this venture?
A handsome present once I am Duke of Manston.
With a look of satisfaction, she sits at a desk and picks up a quill. As she writes, Rudolph steps behind her. The letter finished, she looks away pensively.
To think of you, my old lover, as Duke of Manston.
If you hadn't married that old fool Castlemaine, you could have been the Duchess.
Oh, my dear, I've exhausted all your mysteries.
Standing, the Countess stares at Rudolph, then kisses him passionately. She pulls away, impressed.
Well, nearly all. I wonder you don't marry that little milksop cousin of yours, then you'd be doubly rich. Or has she set herself another target? The king, perhaps?
I'm sure she has no such idea.
That milky, modest face doesn't deceive me. She might comport herself like a nun, but inside...
With a swipe, she knocks over a tray of silver.
If you'll permit me.
As Rudolph picks up her letter, Charles approaches her apartment.
Not that way, you fool! The king would expect of me a better class of infidelity than you!
God's sake!
Herding Rudolph out a connecting door, the Countess tosses his hat after him, then composes herself and puts on a smile. Later, in the royal gardens...
Are you enjoying court, pretty Panthea?
Oh, from what I see, I find it fascinating.
I could show you some of the deeper reaches, if you wish.
My niece is quite happy to float in the shallows, thank you.
Well then, let me see. Ah.
Rudolph sees Sir Philip coming down the garden path.
If you'll excuse me, ladies, court business.
As he leaves, Emma and Panthea exchange smirks.
Why is it I dislike Rudolph Fine so much, Aunt? Innate good taste. Who is that gentleman he's talking to?
That? Mm. Is Sir Philip Gage, Solicitor General and Scourge of Highwaymen. He's sworn not to rest until every last man of them is hanged.
As Sir Philip reads Rudolph's letter, Emma's face hardens. From wooden gallows hangs a rope. Knotted around a man's neck, spectators stand waiting as the priest runs up.
A pardon is on its way, from the king!
No doubt. But we do things my way here.
As the execution order is about to be given, Silverblade rides in and slashes the rope. Two guards aim at him, but Jack overpowers them on the ground. Silverblade gallops over to a cart beneath the gallows. He climbs onto the horse hitched to it while Jack covers him. Jumping on Silverblade's horse, Jack rides off with Silverblade, who drives the cart with the condemned man in it. Out riding, Panthea meets Charles's party.
Ah, my dear Lady Vine. You've been neglecting us.
But I've been with the Queen every day this week, Your Majesty.
The Queen, yes. But the Queen is not the King.
Just as I am not a man.
I think there's not a gentleman in my court who is not aware of that.
What I meant was, Your Majesty, I can hardly sit on the edge of your bed and gossip for hours.
Oh, I do not know.
An elegant coach draws to a halt on a road opposite Charles and Panthea. Looking out from the coach, the Countess narrows her eyes as she watches them chat. She huffs in exasperation.
Move on! Move on!
From a hilltop some distance away, Lucius watches on horseback.
Tell me, what do you think of your cousin, Rudolph Fine? Your Majesty.
Sir Philip gallops up to Charles and Panthea.
Your Majesty. Lady Vine. I have been seeking you, sire. I have been informed as to the whereabouts of the notorious highwayman Silver Blade. Sire, he is bold and he is clever. And he is extremely dangerous. I shall need a company of men to help apprehend him, sire.
Oh, yes, Silver Blade. I hear something of a Robin Hood. Behaves like a gentleman.
He nevertheless, sire, represents a threat to the very foundation of Your Majesty's law and Your Majesty's order.
I'm not saying he shall not pay the price, Sir Philip. You shall have your soldiers.
Thank you, sire.
Oh, by the by, where's he hiding?
Her face stern, Panthea listens.
If I may tell you that, sire, in a little more privacy.
Yes, most circumspect. When do you move?
Later this evening.
Very well.
Lady Vine, Your Majesty.
As Sir Philip leaves, Charles turns to Panthea.
Milady?
Still surveying the scene, Lucius finally rides away. Panthea and Harry gallop to the palace. As Panthea enters her apartment, Martha looks up.
Martha. Now this time you must tell me everything.
My lady, please, I told you, I don't know nothing.
You're lying to me. I thought that was something that could never happen.
My lady, I'm under oath.
Sir Philip Gage has discovered the hiding place, and he is going there tonight with an army of soldiers. What? If you know where Silverblade is hiding out, you must tell me.
Lady, I'm sorry. I was sworn to secrecy. My fiancé, Jack, your groom, Harry's son, he's one of Lord Lucius's band. I'm terrified for him.
The hiding place now, where is it?
I don't know, and that's the truth. But Harry does.
Thank you. I shall not be meeting you again today.
Very good, milady.
Tell Harry to expect me by the stables. Now go and hurry.
Martha leaves. Outside, at night...
Milady!
Panthea runs to Harry in the shadow of some trees.
We have a huge start on us. We can cut cross country.
Jumping on their horses, they race away from the palace in the dark. As Sir Philip's men advance on foot down a road, Panthea and Harry hurtle across country. Reining in her horse behind Harry's, Panthea gets her bearings.
Maston Hall!
Taking the lead, Panthea gallops to the gate of Maston Hall. Harry knocks at the gate. As Harry steps aside, Panthea looks up expectantly. In the dim doorway, Lucius appears, unmasked.
Her ladyship has news to impart to you, my lord. News of the utmost importance with regard to your safety.
Lucius, I've come to warn you. I was with the king today, and Sir Philip Gage told him that he'd received information about your hiding place.
Gazing at her with admiration, Lucius reaches for her hand and ushers her inside. Lucius leads Panthea through a darkened outer room where the furnishings are draped in cloths to the inner drawing room.
Jack, Gage is on his way. Go through the house, remove all traces. Rory, get the horses ready.
The two aides obey.
The ancestral home of the Vines. The last place I would have thought they'd look for Silver Blade. How did they find out?
Cousin Rudolph, I'm sure of it. He's desperate to inherit the title and the estate. He's even petitioned the king to have Manston restored to him. He spends all his nasty little days scheming how to be accepted as the head of the family and the Duke of Manston.
Does it really mean that much to him? Why, if the poor devil wants the dukedom that much, he is very welcome to it.
How can you say that? Does Manston mean so little to you? You are the Duke now. To father, this house, the family history, it meant more to him than I can even begin to tell you. My brother Richard died in the service of the king. You have taken his place now. His trust has been handed to you. You cannot deal with that lightly or refuse your birthright.
Forgive me. I've grown accustomed to laughing at things which are most sacred. I love this house. And all that is in it.
Standing by the lighted fire, they exchange a long look.
Then go to the king. Tell him who you are. If you asked for a pardon, you could obtain a reprieve. Countless other people have done so.
Alas, I cannot. You see, there is a price on my head. 1,000 guineas, I've been told. I have too many enemies who would make sure that my petition for mercy did not reach His Majesty before it was too late. Besides, there is work to be done. King's work, which he cannot even know about.
I don't understand.
Well, you see, the king's job is to heal this torn land. And to do that, he must shut his eyes to some things. Wrongs which should be righted. I am a lord of this realm, and I see it as my task to do those things which the king may not. If he were even to know about it, he would be forced to condemn me.
All I see is a man who does so much for others and yet is forced to live as an outlaw himself.
And you? Are you happy at the court? Doubtless there are hundreds of young gallants only too eager to make you so.
Oh, I've had many offers of marriage.
Well, then you should take one. Come and live here. I can see you now, dining at this very table with your children playing on the lawn outside, meeting your husband by the lake at twilight. You would be very happy.
Yes. But not with anyone else.
As Lucius turns from the window to look at her, Panthea keeps her eyes averted. He turns away again.
You should not wait for me.
Panthea walks over to him.
I should not. But I shall.
Stepping close to her, Lucius takes her hands in his.
You must go. Soldiers will be here at any time.
How can I go now that I have found my only happiness?
Please. If you die, I shall die with you.
My lord, they're here.
You go, I shall follow.
No, you must go, but don't worry about me.
I cannot go and leave you.
I can delay them, but this is my house. I've every right to be here.
What will you say?
That to me. Now, please, please go.
You will never be out of my thoughts or my protection.
In the darkened outer room, Sir Philip's soldiers pause.
Will understand there be damned you? Such a house!
Come on, upstairs. Lively now, come on.
As the soldiers ban out, Sir Philip enters the brightly lit drawing room, followed by Rudolph.
Rudolph! What on earth are all these men doing here?
Panthea, what the devil? What are you doing here?
She spies a mask lying on the floor.
Well,
and stands by it.
I suppose a lady is allowed to sit quietly in her own house.
My apologies, sir. Excuse me. I was informed that this place was the sanctuary of the notorious highwayman Silver Blade.
Sir Philip. Manston Hall has always attracted strange tales of hauntings and so forth, but never a highwayman. You break new ground, sir.
It may well be your house, but you do not live in it. What are you doing here?
It's something I've been doing rather a lot recently. I get rather homesick. I can't bear to think of this place being abandoned.
Sir Philip, captured a man at the back. They're bringing him now.
Still standing with her skirt hiding the mask, Panthea feigns disinterest as they wait.
Harry! It's my groom. Well, if he's the notorious Silver Blade, there's no hope for any of us. Are you the wicked Silver Blade, Harry?
No, my lady.
Really?
Search the house. From the cellar to the attic. Search the house, I say!
Sir Philip follows the soldiers out of the room.
Every cupboard in every corner.
Shall I get the horses, milady?
Yes, thank you, Harry.
Milady.
As Harry leaves, Rudolph walks over to Panthea.
I'm not a total fool, you know.
Oh, I never thought you that, cousin Rudolph.
With a sneer, Rudolph leaves. Cautiously, Panthea picks up the mask, smoothing it in her hands as she goes to sit by the fire.
Well, any sign?
Nothing, sir.
Oh, for God's sake, man, the place is full of hidden passages.
But we've looked everywhere, sir. Here,
she tucks the mask under a cushion. Stepping into the corridor, Panthea sees soldiers battering down a door. She rushes over to them.
Home!
As the sergeant turns, Panthea recognizes him as Drysdale's former coachman. Intrigued, Rudolph watches her reaction.
Has it come to this then, sir? That having got rid of Cromwell, an Englishwoman must still stand by and watch her house be defiled and wrecked and still be able to do nothing about it? Have a care, sir. I am the sister of the late Duke of Manston, and he died in the service of His Majesty. I myself have the ear of the king, and I can assure you, sir, he will hear of this.
My apologies, milady. As I've already told you, I was informed. I had assumed.
Sir Philip looks at Rudolph.
Reliably. I shall have my men dismissed immediately. Sergeant, stand your men down.
Outside!
Get them out of the house now.
Harry!
Yes, milady?
My cloak, if you please.
Milady.
Her head held high, Pantheus stares defiantly at Rudolph. On his way out, he grabs her arm.
You shall not try to make trouble for me with the king. I'm not deceived by your play acting.
Let go of me, cousin Rudolph.
Sir Philip watches.
I said let go of me, or I shall call for help from some of your bumbling soldiers.
Wrenching her arm free, she strides away. Back at the palace, Pantheia paces in her apartment wearing her nightgown. With a wistful look, she begins to daydream. Imagining Silverblade evading armed guards and galloping to his hideout in the church ruins, she is almost overcome with fear. Later, the Countess walks to the door of her apartment, hands on her hips.
Well?
Rudolph is smug.
I have a fellow outside. If you handle him the way only you can, I believe he will solve all our problems.
How so?
You get rid of Panthea, I get rid of Lucius in one stroke.
You interest me strangely. Who is this fellow?
I shall not predispose you in any way. I wish it to come to you exactly as it came to me.
Striding purposefully to the door, he opens it.
Sergeant?
The sergeant enters.
I want you to tell her ladyship what you told me.
As the sergeant walks over to the Countess, Rudolph leaves. Hat in hand, Rudolph paces outside the door.
I'll have to put it all together in pieces, like, in my mind.
The Countess scowls at him. Walking over to a small chest on her desk, she takes out a pouch as the sergeant watches.
Here are some different pieces.
Shaking out a few coins.
Perhaps they will help your memory.
She reaches for his hand and places them in his palm.
There must be a year's pay here. And there's more, if your memory doesn't fail you.
It was about 4 years ago, when I were a coachman.
Outside the door, Rudolph continues pacing.
And that's all I can tell you, milady.
Sergeant, may I suggest that the facts, as you told them to me, can be looked at in quite a different way?
Oh, no, milady. That Drysdale, that so-called husband of hers, he certainly got what he deserved. He was an animal.
Come now, Sergeant. Nothing is ever as simple as it seems. Let's go over it again, shall we?
Holding the pouch, she gives it a toss. Still waiting, Rudolph sits perched on the edge of a table. As the sergeant emerges, Rudolph stands and walks toward him.
Everything all right, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Watching the sergeant leave, Rudolph steps briskly to the door and enters the Countess's apartment. Gloating, she keeps her back turned as he saunters up behind her.
You were quite right. This is certainly the end of Panthea Vine. Quite how it helps you, I do not know.
That I will explain in due course.
The important thing is we move at once. The king sails for France this afternoon. And without him, there's nothing even that ogre Lady Darlington can do.
Oh, Aunt, do you think I look suitable?
Good heavens, girl, do stop fussing. You look exquisite. Anyone would think this is the first supper party you've ever been to.
Well, it's the first one the Lord Chancellor has given at court this season. I don't wish to disgrace you in front of all those grand guests.
What great nonsense. Disgrace me. You're the jewel in my crown, girl. Now get on with it.
Hand in hand, Panthea and Emma leave Panthea's apartment. As musicians play in a candlelit gallery, guests and finery mingle in the great hall below. Pleased, Emma watches as Panthea laughs and chats with other guests. When the Countess sees Panthea, she freezes. Unbeknownst to Panthea, the Countess continues glaring at her. Emma excuses herself from her companions.
I trust you won't find it too fleshy of me, Your Grace, but my stomach is beginning to positively shout for food.
Take no notice, Your Grace. The Lord Chancellor is like all you men, simply a big belly completely surrounded by self-esteem.
There's a great deal to be esteemed, dear Lady Darlington.
We only wait the arrival of Sir Philip Gage, and he is never late.
As the guests turn to look, Sir Philip marches in with several soldiers. Emma frowns. They stop in the center of the great hall by Panthea.
What, Sir Philip? You bring soldiers with you to supper?
I regret, Lady Darlington, that I come in duty. Not as a guest.
Your duty, sirrah?
Aye. And a painful duty it is, my lord. Lady Panthea Vine, I arrest you for the murder of your husband, Christian Drysdale.
The Countess grins.
In the name of the law.
Shocked, Panthea stands rigid. Uniformed guards march two abreast into the Tower of London. Inside, Panthea sits by a window.
I fear the king has sailed for France, but you must not despair. Sir Lawrence Dobson is the finest lawyer in England. He'll make short shrift of this nonsense.
Thank you, Aunt. Well, my girl, let us... Oh, Aunt.
As Panthea and Emma hug in Panthea's quarters, a peasant woman sits outside in the tower precincts. Seeing Emma descending the steps from the tower, she smiles a toothless grin and gets to her feet. She intercepts Emma.
Everything all right with our young mistress, milady?
Grimly, Emma takes coins from her purse and drops them in the woman's hand. When the woman keeps her hand out, Emma adds a few more.
See that she has everything she wants.
Yes, milady.
At night outside the tower, guards march as torches burn bright. Inside...
Lady Vine, the Solicitor General is going to say that this highwayman is a creature of yours, hired for the sole purpose of murdering your husband for his money.
But, Sir Lawrence, it is just not true.
It would help your case immeasurably if you could say who this Silver Blade actually is and why he should thus help you. His identity, if you can prove it, is the key to your life.
Panthea looks away.
I am unable.
Unable?
I do not know. I have no idea who this man is.
I think you do know.
No, sir, I do not know.
I believe you do. And if I'm to defend you, you must help me. Tell me.
I cannot.
Cannot or will not?
I cannot. Sir Lawrence, I truly value your wish to help me, but I cannot give you the information you require. I certainly do not wish to embarrass you.
She looks to Emma before continuing.
I shall represent myself at the trial.
That is certain disaster.
I have no doubt that you are right, but I have no choice.
Lady Vine, I beg of you.
I am sorry, sir, but my mind is made up.
If you reconsider, you know where I can be reached.
As Sir Lawrence leaves, Emma walks to Panthea's side.
Do you realize what you're doing, child? The only reason Sir Lawrence took your case was on my direct intervention. If you refuse his help, there's nothing further I can do. This silver blade, if only you could say something.
Oh, Deborah, I cannot.
In tears, Panthea turns away from her. Sometime later in a courthouse, Sir Philip questions the sergeant who sits in a witness chair.
Sergeant Potter. Sergeant...
Panthea looks on.
Seth Potter.
On a tiered dais sit the judge and magistrates.
Would you please tell the court, in your own words, what happened?
Well, after Mr. Drysdale was taken away, Lady Vine got out of the coach, and she and the highwayman, Silver Blade, embraced.
They embraced, you say?
Yes, sir. She put her head on his chest.
Tell me, did she not in any way seem to be in fear of this man?
Panthea frowns.
No, sir, it was as if they were old friends.
I see. And then?
Well, then the highwayman, Silver Blade, took something out of the coach, and he and Lady Vine went into the woods with it together.
Did you see what it was that they took from his coach?
Oh, no, sir. But he was carrying it very careful, eh?
Tell me, Sergeant, have you heard any speculation as to the source of Lady Vine's considerable fortune?
Yes, sir.
Really? In what sense?
In a sense that no one could make out where it come from.
Tell me, could what her accomplice... I beg the court's pardon. Could what the highwayman took from this coach have been a coffer of gold?
Panthea bridles.
It could have been, yes, sir.
It was my dog! It was the dog that my husband murdered!
Fine. You do yourself no good.
She looks imploringly at the judge.
Sir Philip, pray continue.
I am obliged.
Panthea sits back down.
What happened next, Sergeant?
Well, the next thing we knew, Mr. Drysdale was dead, and we were made to help bury him in the woods.
Dead?
Yes.
How?
He'd been run through the chest.
I see. And then?
Then Silver Blade gave us 5 sovereigns to keep our mouths shut and sent us packing.
Leaving him alone with the accused... and the alleged coffer of gold.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, what was the attitude of the accused at that time?
Sir Philip steps behind Panthea's chair.
Well, she was leaning on the highwayman's arm, cozy-like.
Leaning upon the highwayman's arms, cozy-like.
Grasping her chair, he looms over her.
Thank you, Sergeant. You may stand down.
Just one moment, Sir Philip. Stay where you are. Who represents Lady Vine in this matter?
I understand, my lord, that she is defending herself.
Indeed.
Anxious, Sir Lawrence watches from the gallery.
Have you any questions to ask this witness?
Panthea stands.
Yes, my lord.
Very well.
Panthea approaches the witness chair.
Sergeant, is it not true that the highwayman and Mr. Drysdale fought a duel?
Oh, yes, my lady.
Well, then, is it not fair to say that the highwayman gave Mr. Drysdale a fair chance?
I don't know many highwaymen as gives their victims a fair chance at a duel, my lady.
As Panthea glances in horror at the gallery, the Countess chuckles demurely.
Any further demonstration and I shall clear the court.
The sergeant appears ill at ease.
Do you want to ask the witness anything further?
Yes, my lord.
Very good.
were two coachmen there that night, were there not?
Yes, my lady.
So then, where is your colleague? Why is he not here to give evidence as well?
He died of the fever a year ago, my lady.
Panthea's crestfallen.
But if he was here, he wouldn't have said any different, my lord.
It is nearly 4 years ago since this event took place. Why has it taken you quite so long to come forward with this accusation?
Well, you heard what you said yourself, my lady, that Silver Blade. He said if we talked, he'd find us and put the quietness on us for good.
Sir Philip sits bored at his table.
Have you any more questions to ask this witness?
No, my lord.
Then you may step down.
In despair, Panthea watches the sergeant leave the witness chair. Sir Philip rises.
That concludes the case for the prosecution, my lord.
Very good. Do you wish to go into the witness box and give evidence on your own behalf?
Yes, my lord, I most certainly do.
Very well.
As Panthea summons her courage and steps up to the witness chair, Rudolph and the Countess grin smugly.
Are you asking us to believe, madam, that this gallant highwayman rescued you from a forced marriage for no other reason than out of the kindness of his heart?
Yes. He's a truly, truly good man.
You speak quite as if you know him.
No.
But you know who he is.
No, no. All that I know is that he is a man of honor who has done no wrong.
If he has done no wrong, I pray you, madam, why is he not in this court to speak on your behalf?
Because you would seize him and behead him. You would never believe that he was a man of honor.
Once again, madam, I pray you, the name of this man.
I do not know!
Harry and Martha watch from the gallery.
I do not know. Is Manston Hall your home?
Sorry, I beg your pardon?
Is Manston Hall your home?
It was my home.
And was it to Manston Hall I went a while back to arrest the highwayman Silverbury?
No doubt of it.
Sir Lawrence whispers to himself.
Yes.
But I did not find him, did I?
Sir Philip flaps his fingers.
The bird had flown. Instead, I found you guarding his back.
Sir Lawrence cringes.
I'm sorry, sir. I do not know what you mean.
I mean, ma'am, that you and your paramour, this so-called Silver Blade, have been conducting an illicit union at your former home, funded by the wealth for which you married and he murdered your husband.
No, that's not true!
In Panthea's mind, Silver Blade gallops across a field to her rescue. The judge pounds his gavel.
Lady Panthea Vine, you have been found guilty of the foul murder of your husband, Mr. Christian Drysdale. It is the duty of those born as you were to higher state to give a shining example to others less fortunate. Instead, you sank to the deepest infamy of which mankind is capable. The sentence of this court is that you be taken from hence to the Tower of London, where your head shall be severed from your body according to the law of the land. And may God have mercy on your soul.
As Panthea sits slumped in her chair crying, Silverblade and Jack burst in. Pistols drawn, they hold off the guards.
Excuse me for interrupting. If I might ask you all to keep very still. And that includes you, my lord. My Lady Vine.
Panthea rushes to Silverblade's side. As they leave the courthouse, Jack covers them, then follows. Joining Rory by the horses, they are ambushed by soldiers aiming rifles at them from every surrounding wall and rooftop. More soldiers arrive to seal off the road. In both directions. of the courthouse, the people from the gallery watch as Silverblade and his men, surrounded, throw down their weapons.
Have faith, we're not finished yet.
While the Countess stands grinning, Martha rushes over to Jack and clings to him desperately.
Excuse me.
As Rudolph brushes past Emma, Silverblade slips Charles's ring to Martha.
Take this. Ask Lady Darlington to give it to the king.
Reaching out, Rudolph plucks the ring from Martha and admires it.
Very pretty. How generous of you.
Then he rips off Silverblade's mask.
Cousin Lucius.
As Rudolph drops the mask on the road, Sir Philip comes out of the courthouse and surveys the scene with pride.
Take them away!
Later, Rudolph and the Countess drink a toast.
In 7 days' time, Cousin Lucius will be swinging from a rope at Tiber.
Well, Panthea's silly little head tumbles into a basket at the tower. I drink to the future Duke of Manston.
Meanwhile, carpenters erect a scaffold in the tower precincts. Inside, Panthea sits on her bed pulling yarn. As Panthea goes to the door of her quarters, a guard enters with Martha.
She can stay here.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I wouldn't look out over there, my lady. Not very interesting, only carpenters.
Once the guard leaves, Martha rushes to Panthea and they cling to each other.
And what of Lucius? He's in Newgate Prison with my Jack and the others.
In Newgate Prison, Jack paces around a large cell, frustrated. In another cell, Lucius sits motionless against a stone wall as a guard enters carrying a plate.
Roast quail today, my lord, followed by the finest of venison, and sweetbreads in burgundy wine.
You're wasted here, Kral. You should be at the playhouse.
Lucius kicks the plate, knocking over Krull, who lunges at him.
Do!
Glowering at Lucius, Krull takes a step back, then turns to leave. By the cell door, he stops.
You're a lady, friend. Scaffold goes apace at the tower. She can see it from her window.
Grinning wickedly, he strokes his neck.
4 days to go.
He leaves. Sitting down again, Lucius leans back against the wall in despair. In the tower...
Milady? No, Martha, I cannot.
Panthea declines a tray of food.
What are they doing to Lucius?
Frustrated, she strides over to the window. In the square below, the scaffold is almost finished. From her window, Panthea watches as two men climb the scaffold stairs, one carrying a heavy chopping block and the other a large basket. As the first man sets down the chopping block, the other places the basket in front of it. Her chest heaving with each breath she takes, Panthea continues to watch as the two men leave. They return carrying a pine coffin. Just as they set the coffin down, Panthea's door opens and the guard lets Emma in.
Well, Panthea, my dear, aren't you going to kiss your aunt?
Tears in her eyes, Panthea stands frozen. Going over to her, Emma holds her close.
Have you seen Lucius?
No, they wouldn't give me access. They said he was a common highwayman.
The highwayman?
Panthea strides away in frustration.
He'd want you to be brave, my dear.
I shall be, aunt.
She paces erratically.
When the time comes.
Dubious, Emma glances over to Martha, who faintly shakes her head. Outside, a hooded headsman carries an axe to the block, feet apart. He takes a practice swing. In Newgate Prison, Kral steps into Lucius's cell.
Day after tomorrow. Thought you might like to know they've arranged the times poetic-like.
You and her, you'll be going off together. Only she won't have you to help her through.
Lucius lies still on his cot.
Kral, if you don't want to die, get out.
Considering his options, Kral decides to leave. In the tower, Pantheus stands solemnly by her window, looking down at several uniformed drummers lined up in the square. As Panthea continues to stare out, Martha comes over.
Come away, my lady. Does no good. Do you realize, Martha, those drums are to drown out anything I might shout?
In Newgate Prison...
I thought Silver Blade would have come up with something before this.
He will.
He will! You better be sharp about it. The day after tomorrow, we're all dead.
Shut up!
Pacing slowly in his cell, Lucius turns as his door opens and a woman steps inside. As she removes the scarf from her head, he stares at her unfazed. It's the Countess!
I saw you in the courtroom.
Ah.
You know who I am.
Who is not aware of the beauty of the age?
I brought you to this.
I'd assumed that Clown Rudolph did not plan to haunt himself.
I could have you freed.
Price?
Somewhat taken aback, she smiles slightly.
Most men would consider it a prize, not a price.
Looking down, he allows a little grin.
I am honored.
With a glint in her eye, the Countess walks up to him.
Then...
And Lady Panthea. Could you free her too?
She bristles.
Forget her. That bloodless little novice could never satisfy a man like you. You need a woman.
Getting no reaction, she steps closer.
You need me. No man has ever resisted me. I know how to pleasure a man.
He eyes her warily.
We could share a carnival of pleasure. I know it.
She circles around him.
We are of a kind.
You are wrong. We are not of a kind. It is an emotion you would not understand, but I love Lady Panthea Vine, and even if I did not, my choice would hardly fall on you.
Then die! Die, you and your puling little green stick maid! And when they hoist you at Tyburn, I will swing on your heels.
Standing stock still, Lucius watches her storm out. Martha stands behind Panthea, stroking her hair. They turn as the guard slowly approaches, with a man following him.
Somebody here, my lady. He's come about.
The guard pats his neck as Panthea and the man glare at each other.
What's his job, you see?
Under Panthea's glassy stare, the man continues to size her up. As the guard turns to go, the man follows. Outside the still open door, the guard looks at him questioningly.
One blow.
Please, God.
Horrified, Panthea dashes to her bed and curls into a ball as Martha runs to comfort her. Lost in thought, Lucius sits with his back to his cell door as Kral enters and sets a plate down on the floor.
That'll make the most of it. It's your last one. We're making bets on who goes off first tomorrow. You or your trollop. I'm betting she wins. By a short head.
Getting no reaction, Kral hesitates.
Knew you'd crack in the end.
As Kral leaves, Lucius remains motionless. Outside, a man on a ladder tests nooses strung from gallows. Back in the tower, Martha adds wood to a fire in the hearth. Seemingly unaware of Martha's presence, Panthea sits in a chair, gazing into the flames. Her face softening into a faint smile, Panthea thinks back to the night Lucius greeted her. Unmasked, at the gate to Manston Hall, She remembers the long look they exchanged. And the gentle way he took her hand to usher her inside. As the image fades, sadness mars her features. Lucia sits thinking in the cell while Jack and Rory wait tensely in theirs. Outside, the nooses await, as does the chopping block outside the tower. Discreetly, Martha wipes away a sniffle as Panthea sits in a plain white cotton dress on her window ledge. Again, she retreats into her memories.
How can I go now that I've found my only happiness?
On the window ledge, Panthea begins to sob. She retreats again.
You will never be out of my thoughts or my protection.
Through the bars of Lucia's cell door, Krall sees a body hanging.
Damnation!
As Krall enters the cell and rushes to inspect the body, Lucia steps out and punches him. Grabbing Krall's keys, Lucia dashes out. Jack and Rory leap to their feet as Lucia arrives to free them. With Lucia in the lead, they make their way along dimly lit corridors. In the guardhouse, several guards sit eating as the three prisoners burst in. Grabbing swords from a rack on the wall, the three prisoners take on the guards. Lucius duels with one guard while Jack engages another. Knocking down his opponent, Lucius turns back into the fray. Rory flings a guard across the table. As Jack locks swords with his opponent, Lucius and Rory continue to battle the others. One by one, they overpower the guards until finally, Jack heaves the last guard into a water barrel. As the three prisoners scramble out the door, the guard in the barrel flops to the floor. The prisoners rush down the corridor. In the courtyard are two more guards. Lucius punches one and Jack punches the other as Rory joins them. Running to a hitching post, they untie a horse each and gallop out of the prison yard through the town. In the palace, the queen stands by Charles at his desk.
Thank you, sire.
As he signs petitions.
A petition from Kent, your majesty.
Lucius and his men gallop through a market.
I won't wait a second longer. In 15 minutes, they'll both be dead. I claim my inheritance now. You must get me an audience.
Oh, for heaven's sake, you're guessing it. The king only came back from France last night.
In the tower, Panthea sits in her bed reading as Martha attends nearby. The guard enters, followed by two men, one of them a priest. Panthea looks up defiantly.
Come, child.
Stoically, she stands and walks to a vanity, where Martha seats her in front of a mirror. Grabbing a ribbon, Martha ties up Panthea's long blonde hair as the men watch. Then kneels with her head in Panthea's lap and weeps.
And I therefore claim the dukedom of Manston as my legitimate inheritance.
Charles stares at Rudolph's hands.
Tell me, where did you get that?
As Charles points to the diamond and ruby ring on his finger, Rudolph's face drops. The Countess also sees the ring. Stunned, Rudolph meets Charles's icy gaze. On the wall hangs a portrait of Charles wearing the same ring.
You fool!
Riding past a farm, Lucius and his men start across a small bridge. Dispersing a few sheep on the bridge, they find their way blocked by farmers unloading carts on the other side.
Back. Come on. Back the other way.
They turn back. In the tower precincts, spectators stand waiting by the scaffold. A lone man leads the way down the tower steps. Some distance behind, Panthea follows with several escorts. The man in the lead is Sir Philip, who walks solemnly past the spectators and takes up a position by the drummers. As Panthy and her escorts descend the steps, Martha weeps. Her hair tied up in a white kerchief, Panthea approaches the scaffold. Emma and Harry stand beside Martha. In a daze, Panthea slowly walks to the base of the scaffold and climbs the stairs. As Emma watches, Panthea stops in front of the block and refuses a blindfold. Dropping coins into the headsman's hand, Panthea cringes, then crosses herself. Taking a deep breath, she drops to her knees in front of the block. As the headsman removes the axe from under a pile of straw, Panthea rests her neck on the block. The headsman raises his axe and prepares to strike the blow. Just missing his target, the headsman keels over with a knife in his back. From a wall high above the square, Lucius leaps to a lower wall. Struggling to her feet, Panthea looks up to see Rory follow Lucius, while Jack takes on guards at the gate to the tower precincts. As Lucius leaps down another level, Rory follows after. Together, they burst into the square and start battling the guards. Pushing his way past the guards at the gate, Jack enters the square and joins the fray. Lucius fends off several guards by the scaffold, then runs up the stairs to Panthea's side.
Guards, get out here!
As reinforcements arrive, Jack tackles him at the stairs while Lucius knocks him off the scaffold. The guards start to overpower Jack on the stairs. As Lucius tries frantically to hold them off, Charles and his men ride through the gate. Wearing a purple feathered hat, Charles rides past the spectators to the scaffold. As Sir Philip bows, Charles nods to him. Dismounting, Charles hands his reins to a guard and walks slowly onto the scaffold. Sir Philip stands resigned as the spectators watch expectantly. With a stern look, Charles walks up to Lucius. Lucius bows and Panthea curtsies. Charles lifts his hand.
Thank you for my ring. It was always one of my favorites.
He takes off his hat.
Now, where's my hat?
As a grin spreads over Charles's face, he and Lucius start laughing and hug each other. Donning his hat again, Charles steps to the rail with Lucius holding Panthea's hand. Together they acknowledge the cheering spectators. Later, a carriage crosses the stone bridge to Manston Hall. Dressed in wedding finery, Lucius and Panthea enter the drawing room hand in hand. Pulling her close, Lucius kisses her cheek.
My darling wife.
Lucius, I love you.
As the sun's rays bathe them in a glowing light, they kiss passionately. Described version of The Lady and the Highwayman was created by Audiovision. The narrative description was written by Valerie Kennedy, narrated by Melissa Unger, and produced by Ron Rickford, Ben Whaley, and Edgar Wong Baxter Jr. To learn more about described video, visit www.audiovisioncanada.com. Featuring Martha, Stephanie Pitt, Jack, Floyd Bevan, Rory, Wayne Michaels, The Queen, Lamia Dervell, Crow, Forbes Collins, Flossie, Liz Fraser, Millionaire, James Booth, Kindly Gowler, Tommy Duggan, Archbishop, John Bascom, made at Pinewood Studios, London, England, and on location at Harlaxton Manor, Dover Castle, Dorney Court, Haddon Hall. Copyright 1988, The Grade Company.